Take your tickets, take your seats. It's time for Popcorn Spoilers. I'm Dylan Bowden.
I'm Ryan Betson.
And tonight we are talking about the latest in video game to movie adaptations with Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Now, this one's just called Tomb Raider.
Yeah. So just like the game that it's named after, it receives itself a beautiful reboot that is dark and grittier. That's what people would call a dark and gritty reboot. What's up, James? That James, we've had that intro for a while, actually. That was the old version of Popcorn, which was without the spoilers. But we do need to make a new one, actually, just for Popcorn Spoilers. So if you have any ideas, we can do it. Well, I'm interested. Yeah. And Sarah's here as well. Hey, Sarah, how you doing? Now, I've not seen the film, so this is going to be a great conversation for me. Dylan has.
I have seen the film.
Tell us all about it.
So it is titled Tomb Raider, like Ryan said, based on the 2013 reboot of Tomb Raider by Square Enix.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And Crystal Dynamics.
And somewhat its sequel, Rise of the Tomb Raider as well. There's some elements that carry over into this. It is directed by Roar Atgard.
Yeah, rad name.
A Norwegian director who has done some Norwegian work, nothing very mainstream worldwide. So it's good to see an upcoming filmmaker get some exposure.
And it's a pretty big license to be your first like big American film.
That's right. It stars Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft. It's also got Dominic West as Lord Richard Croft, her father. Walton Goggins. Matthias, who's the villain of the piece. Daniel Wu, I believe, plays a fellow character that teams up with Lara Croft. And Kristen Scott Thomas is Anna, her father's ex-business partner.
Okay.
Yeah, and essentially it tells the story of the origin of Lara Croft and somewhat follows the plot of the first game or the remake game where she travels to a mysterious island via boat.
Sarah says, it's the first time I've watched Popcorn. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Oh, hello.
Sarah's been around. She's a big long-term fan. Been around ages.
But not of Popcorn.
But not of Popcorn, no.
Well, enjoy. So essentially she goes to this mystical island in the game on an expedition.
Hey, Dave's here. Hey, Dave, very quickly.
To find... now, I'm going to mispronounce this because I didn't remember it. Hariko. This ancient queen who has this mystical power that they suppose exists on the island where her body lays. And so they have to dig into the tomb to find out the mysteries of that. So in the game, there's she travels there via boat and she's a college student and she's got a group of people with her. One is like this elderly gentleman who was a friend of her father's. Her father's passed away and she's following in his steps as an archaeologist. Very young, like early 20s, just starting out. They're on the way to this island and the boat crashes and they shipwreck on the island. Lara's separated and then they find that there's these people inhabiting the island that kidnap them. Some of them are run by this guy called Matthias, who's like this religious nut who runs the soldiers on the island. Mm. And it's all the people that have kind of crashed on this island and work for him.
Yeah, because there's this perpetual storm around the island that prevents anyone easily leaving the island. So
that's right.
Anyone that does crash land there sort of does just like doesn't really have a choice. They're like, oh, I guess I'm a henchman now.
Exactly, and they're stuck there. So any ship that goes there, any helicopters, planes that enter the area of the island crash. So they eventually, over the course of the game, Lara breaks away. She's surviving out in the wild, hunting things, has a bow and arrow that becomes her standard weapon as opposed to her dual pistols that she usually has. And she has her first kill against one of the henchmen, and then she's got a kill to survive, and it's all about her surviving and doing these things out of necessity rather than just being an adventurer.
But with some really awesome, like, Uncharted-level action pieces.
Yeah, so there's some big set pieces there, and then eventually... Matthias kidnaps Sam, which is one of her friends, and the idea is that they're going to...
spoilers for the game, by the way.
Well, it's spoilers. The show's spoilers. So they're going to transition her into the body of Himiko. I think it's Himiko. There we go. To resurrect her and clear the curse around the island so that they can leave the island and gain her immortality or powers or whatever it might be. So that's the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so over the course of the game, she... you know, gets tattered and torn and ripped, and her clothes more resemble, the look that the old Tomb Raider had. And then by the end of the game, she gets the dual pistols to take out the villain, and it's like her trademark. And she kind of becomes the Tomb Raider you know and love, like Casino Royale style reboot, Batman Begins. So that's the game. The movie, on the other hand, does borrow a lot of cues from the game. So visually, you can see she's wearing the same outfit. She's a younger version of herself. She's not as sexualized as the Angelina Jolie 1996 Tomb Raider. She has the pickaxe in the posters, and she has the bow and arrow in the posters.
So James asks, I am concerned with the amount of CG they use in the trailer. Is it done well? We'll get to that. And Nighthawk's here, and they say, you guys saying it's good? No. Check that title. There's a question mark. It's an intrigue, or clickbait, as they say.
Oh.
You haven't got there yet. We'll find out whether it's good or not. I haven't seen it. I'm waiting for Dylan, darling.
Essentially, the difference in this one is that for some stupid reason, Hollywood decides that they have to change things. Just cause. You know? Like, we're arty filmmakers. We need to do something.
The story you told me is pretty good. Like, it's a solid story arc. Mm. Like, why would they change it?
Yeah. And Lara Croft's very soft in the event. She's not like a hard ass. She's just kind of like a nice, everyday girl next door kind of person. So in this, the beginning is, it tells the story of Himiko, and it's her father, Lord Croft, talking over a voiceover of maps and things, and said that she was this ancient queen who just everywhere just around her death came.
The Green Lantern expedition.
Exactly, and sets up
exposition.
That's right. It sets up the Himiko legend of this evil queen that caused death everywhere around her and was left on this remote island. And then it tells the story of Lara Croft. So your first scene you see Lara Croft in is she's boxing in a boxing ring with like sparring, and she is kind of getting her ass handed to her. Mm. And then they get into like leg locks, MMA style, and she just refuses to tap out.
Just choked out.
Pretty much. So she's almost choked out, and then she taps out at the end. So I assume, because it never comes up again, that that's showing that she never backs down.
Yeah. So in the determination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then she goes into the change rooms and she's getting changed and she's talking to one of her friends.
Just like in the Tomb Raider 1996, no gratuitous side boob?
No side boobs.
Damn.
No boobs.
That's part of that
movie. And it kind of plays up the idea that she's poor.
Sorry, Nighthawk's coming and goes, next stream better be a good game or else, not this Sea of Thieves bullshit. Hey, Sea of Thieves is good. I'll be playing it right now if I wasn't doing this show. But this time tomorrow night, we will be playing a Way Out. So Paul from Player 2 is coming around because Josh is off doing fatherly things for Alex's birthday. Happy birthday to Alex, of course. And we'll be playing Way Out. Co-op game from that drunk guy at the Game Awards. He said, fuck the Oscars, and then proceeded to make a dick out of himself.
Whoa.
You ever see that clip?
No.
I'll show you that clip. It's so cringe.
Does he know that Game Awards and Oscars aren't the same thing?
Nope.
There you go. Well, I guess he's got no way out now. It shows that Lara Croft is poor. She can't pay for her fighting lessons. You don't pay, you don't play, whatever the sign says. She steals the guy's apple as a joke. He's like, I'm looking for my apple. Where's my apple? The gym guy. And she's like, and she's eating the apple. Anyway, so he says, you know, you got to pay. And she's like, I got a job. I'm working towards it. So she's poor, right? She doesn't have money.
So there's no Lara Croft mansion.
Not yet. So she's a courier, like a delivery person on a bicycle. She rides around on a bicycle in London and delivers Indian food. She goes to like this restaurant, and they're in the kitchen, and the mother and the father are kind of pushing the boy to be like, yeah, ask her out. And he pussies out. So I guess that's establishing, hey, people think she's hot. Anyway, she goes to this like...
Or she's intimidating in some way?
I don't know, like place where people hang out, young hip people. It looks kind of like a uni... style place, and these people say, hey, you know, we're doing this thing where we bicycle around, and we've got someone who's like I can't remember what it was, the possum or the cat or the squirrel or whatever the fuck it is, but you get paid to get away from people on a bicycle by putting a paint can on the back and breaking it, so it leaves a trail of paint can where you're going, and you have the little fluffy tail on the back, and like hundreds of people on bicycles chase you down. And if you manage to avoid them, you win like $400 or something like that, not even a lot amount of money. And if you get caught, then you don't get paid. And so they have this massive like 5 to 10 minute action sequence, which is what you want to see from like in the top five things I want to see out of a Tomb Raider movie.
Action scene.
Is Lara Croft riding a cycle through London. And just cycle action sequences where she's just cycling and people are chasing her. And that's what you get. You get that for like 10 to 15 or 5 to 10 minutes.
Did she use a bow and arrow during it though?
No, not at all. So anyway, she ends up like succeeding, doing well. She's wily, she's good. And then she gets hit by a police car driving past, smashes the windshield, gets put in jail. So really all of that is just set up to get her in a position where she's in jail. So she needs to get bailed out by her her father's business partner friend, Anna, who in the games... It was his partner, I think, like his stepmom, her stepmom, but turns out to be evil, working with this evil Trinity group in the sequel, Rise of Tomb Raider. So anyway, she says, exposition-wise, listen, you've got the manor, you know, you just need to sign the paperwork, admit that your father's dead, say that it's all legal, and then you can take over the business, you can take over the manor, you get the fortune as well. And she's in denial of it. It's been 7 years since he's been missing, and in flashbacks, it reveals that he goes off on these business trips.
Where he goes and business trips, where he goes to bang a bunch of people,
and he goes off
that
on
flashback. It's just like, dad's on a business trip.
Could have been in a deleted scene, but I don't think it was. But essentially, she finally decides, you know what, I'm gonna admit that he's dead. Goes and signs the paper, starts signing the papers, and he gives her this Chinese trick box. She's fucking around with it, and she opens it up, and there's a key and a note in it, and the note says, the first letter from my last destination. So she goes to Croft Manor and she goes to his tomb, and the first letter in his name presses the button in there, and it opens up this secret vault under the tombs, and it's got all this archaeological crap in there, and he's, when her mother died, he decided, he's not an archaeologist at all, he's some businessman, right? Just dabbling. Decides that when your mother died, I missed her and I wanted to know more about the supernatural and if she exists and feel close to her. So I'm investigating this Himiko woman and I've got all this archaeological crap. I got maps up. I'm investigating everything and I've traveled to this island to see if I can find supernatural or life beyond death. That was his just dabbling. It's his side thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like some people
in between,
have like
stocks and shit.
It's like, you know, like super coach. Some people do that.
Mm.
Some people play like, you know, tennis or soccer.
Game, yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, you know, social sports. But this is what he's doing. So that compels her, who didn't go to university, isn't interested in archaeology any way, shape or form. She decides that she's going to pawn.
Going to pawn.
So she goes to the pawn shop where Nick Frost is from Spaced and Shaun of the Dead and all the Edgar Wright movies. And he's like, oh, I'm sure I'm Nick Frost, I'm funny. And then his wife comes out like, stop flirting with the people. So I'm not flirting with her. Oh, I was flirting with her. He's a bit funny. So she gives him this medallion that her father gave her that says, you know, if you hold it, you know, the person you're thinking of will be like, oh, they're thinking of me. Pawns it, goes to Hong Kong, she's in Hong Kong looking for a boat to get to this place. She's followed the trail of the paper trail to see who the last person he was with and got to this island with. Tracks down this drunken Asian sailor who's his father was the one that he went away with. They team up, take the boat to the island. While she's at the docks in Hong Kong, though, she's walking around like an idiot because she's not awesome Lara Croft. She's just some moron, and she doesn't know the language. Like, do you speak English? Do you speak English? And then these guys like steal her bag, and she has this action scene where she jumps across all the fucking boats and stuff, doing a bit of parkour, but not cool parkour, just jumping around. Then goes on this adventure and gets to the island. Boat crashes, just like the game. Gets to the island. Walter Goggins there, and he's Matthias, but he's really just a dude that works there. And he's got two daughters at home. He wants to get off the island. The only way he gets off the island is if they find this woman, this dead body of this ancient queen. And he's been there for 7 years, and he's shitty about it. And there's soldiers patrolling the place. Anybody that crashes, they use to dig the sites. And she's looking for her father to see if he's still alive, and he's looking for his father to see if they're still alive. And when they first get there, she wakes up and they're getting chained up and stuff like that. And the guy kind of, Walter Goggins comes over, doesn't give a fuck, shoots people, doesn't care, says, I killed your dad. And so she escapes, just like in the movie.
The whole setup is, I didn't find my dad. Yeah, I shot him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Credits.
In, and then the other guy's like, my dad died too, they told me. He's like, oh. So she runs around the island, kind of escaping. They're trying to chase her down. She discovers that her father's actually alive, living in a cave.
No, I suppose.
Long beard. He's like, oh, it's not you. I'm imagining it. It's actually, oh, it is you. Oh, we're all friends. And they go to the tomb. They break into the tomb.
James jumps in. Hey, I'm Richard Croft. I'm a Gemini. And on the weekend, I go hunting for ancient tombs, trying to speak to my dead wife. Swipe right.
Wow, that's concise and compelling.
Hey, that's what, right?
So essentially he...
Justin asks, is the movie storyline like the new Tomb Raider game? Yes and no, but Dylan's just going to the last of it now.
Yeah, so anyway, they go to the tomb. Richard stayed on the island because he can't get off, but there's no storm, so you do whatever you want. Matthias thinks he's dead. Mm-hmm. He stayed on the island to keep... Because he's the one that knows where the secret is, because he did his archaeology in his spare time. So he's the guy who knows where the tomb is, and he is hiding it from them so they can't find it. So he's staying on the island to protect the world from this, what he imagines to be this supernatural evil that's going to be unleashed if his queen gets unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he gets captured by the bad guys. They threaten to kill him if they don't open the tomb. Lara Croft's like, I'll open the tomb. She goes down, does her tomb raiding. They actually raid a tomb, do tomb raiding stuff. There's some Indiana Jones style traps. They go down with a group of people. There's some cool stuff where they got to solve riddles and things like that. They get to the thing, and I think this is what a lot of people have had issue with, where they're like, it changes tone. A lot of people like get to a certain point and they don't like it. So they get to the thing, they open it up and find that she's just an old dead body. But when they touch her, she disintegrates. And whoever touches her starts melting or getting this weird black virus in their body.
Nice.
And it's not that she's supernatural in any way, shape, or form. It's actually that there's a disease that she had, and she was immune to it, but she was a carrier. So they put her away so that nobody could get infected with this disease in the outside of the world. And so anybody who touches it, you know, dies. And they go a bit crazy and get zombie-like, but they're not zombies. A lot of people complain that they turn into zombies.
James Parry says, so this ancient evil bitch, he doesn't say bitch, but that's what I put in there, is basically the Enchantress.
They think it is, but then it isn't.
And James Frank says, do I sub or no? It's up to you, my friend. It's up to you. And I believe he has. Making a 950th sub. Thank you very much, James.
So he gets infected. Spoilers. Richard gets infected.
Oh, not Richard.
She parts ways with him. He leaves, blows up the tomb. She has a one-on-one fight with Walton Goggins. Does some Street Fighter style one-on-one action. She finally gets to use her ice pick that she stole off of, or climbing pick that she stole off a dude in the last few minutes of the movie. And then they escape off the island, live happily ever after. She goes back to the pawn shop and buys guns.
Okay.
Spoilers. She'll take two. That's the end.
Okay, so it is very similar, but also not at the same time.
Yeah, it's similar, like, but the then they threw a lot of shit in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's do it like the game, which people like. But let's add more shit in so that, you know, the screenwriters feel like they earned the money that they put something creative into it. But Alicia Vikander's really good. She's, she's good. She looks the part. She does have one slight lazy eye. So it's kind of distracting at times, where especially because she's got the big brown eyes and you're just watching her and it's kind of like...
My favorite thing in the world is a bung eye.
Yeah.
It's so jarring.
It's a little bit. I mean, she's gorgeous and she plays the part well. She's got the accent. I think she's like Swedish or Norwegian. So
yeah,
she's got like a heavy accent.
Sound all that English.
So she's doing a good job with the accent. But she does, not necessarily a bitch, but she just seems very standoffish and kind of like Jessica Jonesy. Where she's just like, you know, fuck off, I'm going to wear a jacket, I don't need anybody else, I don't give a shit. So that was a weird thing, because like I said before, she was like the kind of girl next door, nice, wholesome, friendly, and she's very standoffish and not bitchy, but just like grumpy all the time. Got a chip on her shoulder. She does well in the action sequences. She's good at running, jumping.
Because I saw some footage of her, and she's tank. Like
she got ripped for it. When she's boxing at the start, like abs. Yeah.
So and does it look as if the action scenes are her though?
Yeah, for the most part. Like this,
oh, she's Swedish, says James.
Swedish, there you go. There's some parts where she's like running and shit's collapsing. Like at the last minute and like the rocks are breaking.
Yeah, like the Uncharted stuff.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Like you'd never be able to land your footing and keep going. There's that stuff. But she's good at sprinting. She has those injuries.
She's good at running.
She's good at running. She has the injuries where she like gets stabbed in the side and does her own self medicating. What do you call it?
Medication? Like healing?
Self-wrapping.
Mutilation,
no? Self first aid.
Yeah, first aid.
Yeah, she has that moment where she kills someone for the first time, and it's real big, kind of like, choking him down in the water, really feeling it. Does the sneaking around in
does
the
she,
camp?
Does it have the same? Because in the game, when she does take that first life,
yes,
you're like it actively affects her.
Yeah, you do feel that as well. But then, like in the game, after the first kill, she's just like Aaron, motherfucker in the face. Yeah,
like, no question,
going crazy. Yeah, it does have like the boat sequence from the game. It's more intense and exciting in the game, of course, but there's just the two of them on the boat and, you know, it's bashed into the rocks and she jumps over, and so that's pretty cool. There's the part where there's the plane on the edge of the waterfall. That's pretty exciting.
That's pretty much shot for shot like the game.
Yeah, so she has to go across the wing, and then the wing breaks off, but she gets into like the
cockpit.
Yeah, the cockpit, the fuselage. But then the fuselage starts breaking, and then this starts breaking, and that starts breaking, so it's intense.
So James asked the question, does it follow game logic and a simple bandage around the hand will fix everything?
She does cop a lot of injuries. She gets like a piece of wood stuck through her body, pulls it out, bandages it up, she's right to go the next day.
So the organs are fine, I assume?
Yeah, she doesn't break any bones. She gets her ass handed to her a lot from different thugs. Does a lot of jumping, falling, climbing down trees, waterfalls.
So if we were to get a doctor to come in and watch the film and record how many times she gets beaten or stomped or cut or stabbed,
yeah, she would be paralyzed. Yes,
yeah, she'd be fucked.
Yeah, vegetable.
Oh. Yeah. I had no question.
No, she might still be alive, but just not a good way of life. and then at the end the elements that it takes from the second game is this Trinity Society who's all behind everything. So again, when she gets back home again, she's going through the Croft business book.
Portfolio?
Yeah. I've used all my words today. I'm out of words. Business portfolio, and finds like all these businesses that were like at the island. Like, hang on, we own this, we own this, we own this. And then realizes that Anna, her business friend, who she just signed over the business part of the company to... is working with these guys.
God damn, what
a
twist.
So then she goes back to Croft's house, and Croft also has an interest in crazy espionage businesses. So she pulls out the Trinity folder and she's going to investigate that. Keep in mind, she doesn't give a fuck about archaeology. She just wanted to find her dad. And now, you know, she's just going for it.
Yeah. You never realize how much you love something until you randomly just kind of fall into it and get stabbed by it.
Exactly. Or you could have studied it at university and grew up around it with your dad being an archaeologist as well. And
yeah, but he did it in secret, kind of like...
Yeah.
So what do you think overall? That's answered James' question about the CGI.
Well, it's mostly just those parts where she's running and things are falling.
Super action-y parts.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's pretty much all practical effects. She's like going down on like a parachute sometimes in the trees, and you know, that's CGI-ish. But yeah, for the most part, it's all practical effects, or it looks pretty practical. It's only in some of the more heightened things where there's traps that kind of roll around. There's a sequence where the floor falls out below them, which doesn't make any logical sense, but it happens, and they've got to put different colored crystals inside the wall to stop it from falling to the ground, something like that.
Movies do that. Let's see. Jess is here. She says, hey, sorry I'm late. No worries, Jess. All fine. James says, there is a channel dedicated to movie death counts, literally called Kill Counts.
Yeah, I think we watched that one. One of the Die Hards.
I remember we watched The Die Hard, and the guy, like, I know it's Home Alone. And like, those two, was it Merv and...
And the other one, Sticky Bandits.
Yeah, and the Sticky Bandits.
And the Wet Bandits.
The Wet Bandits, sorry, yeah.
The Wet one, the first one, Sticky Bandits.
Very, very dead.
Yeah.
Like, just beyond dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I imagine this should be the same in this game.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely have fun with the Kill Count on this one. But yeah, what other questions have we got? CGI?
Yeah, chuck in the chat. Right. What are your questions about the Tomb Raider film? While we're waiting for those questions to come through, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't horrible like some video game movies are. Like, I would say that Assassin's Creed, even though it was close to the game and like visually, same kind of thing, it just wasn't very fun. This one, It doesn't have as much humor as it could have. It takes itself pretty seriously. And what carries over from the games into the movies are the things that are the best parts of it.
Okay, good.
Alicia Vikander is good herself. So if they made a sequel, you know, she could carry on a trilogy at least and be an interesting kind of character. But yeah, it was okay. It's not horrible. It's not awesome. You go and spend $10 on a movie and watch it and have a good afternoon and then never think about it again.
So it's not a film that you would pick up on physical or digital in the coming months?
Probably not. I wouldn't, like, if it was on Netflix and I had absolutely nothing else to do, which I rarely ever do, I could just like watch the highlights or just skip ahead past the cycle.
Go to the
sequence.
Key bits.
Yeah, just go to the kind of like the tomb raiding part of it, which is like the last quarter of the movie.
Jess asked the question, would you say it is closer to the source material than, say, Angelina Jolie's variants?
Well, that one was all over the place. Like,
yeah, the Angelina Jolie ones were not very, like, outside of Angelina Jolie in a blue tank top with boobs and two guns, like, there's very little about the first one and the second one, the
Cradle of Life.
The Cradle of Life that weren't really all that Tomb Raider-y. Like, she fought robots and it was weird.
Yeah, and like it had Croft Manor in it as well, but even that was different. This one, because they decided to do like the realistic route with the disease rather than the supernatural, so it's all building up to supernatural and never really gets there. Whereas in the game, you're fighting like ancient warriors, like resuscitated from like centuries ago. You get to fight a bear. They should have. Well, the bear was in the second one, though.
Yeah, you fight a bear in the second one.
Yeah, there was a bear in the second one. That could have been Revenant. Could have been the Revenant scene with Lara Croft in it. That would have been cool. But there's lots of animals and things on the island. They didn't really have any hunting. You set up base camp and those are your save points. So it kind of all happened within a space of a day or two rather than, you know, her trying to survive out in the wild. Those kind of elements. They do have the Survivor song by Destiny's Child in the trailers.
I'm a survivor!
But it's kind of like it just plays out so quickly that you don't really get a chance
to...
So
you don't really get to see the survivorness of it?
No, not like surviving. It's just kind of like...
Just there.
Ragdolling.
I am just there!
Yeah. Ragdoll physics.
Oh, okay. Very cool. James asks, do you think this is successful that game companies like Square Enix will sign over the properties to be made to other properties to be made into decent movie representations? So it pretty much is asking, is this the way of video game movies? Is this the first one that'll push it to become a more popular medium again?
No, everybody's waiting for that one to break the mold, and this isn't it. It's not bad. It's in like, you know, the top 10 of video game movies. But it's not the one that transcends, and like, this is an awesome movie, not just a video game movie. So yeah, no. But if they got the people who made the games to make, like, if it was a CGI movie and it was just the game, even if it was just cutscenes, it would be awesome. I don't want to do it. I watched the Ratchet and Clank movie.
Yeah, how was it?
I was confused because literally, it's like I did that part in the game yesterday, like. Shot for shot. And I don't know, I assume because the animation's better in the movie, and they said that they were making the game and the movie at the same time, so they were sending assets to each other so they could match it, and the character models are all the same. But yeah, literally like shot for shot, scene for scene, word for word, that scene is from the game in the movie. And some, they've got like Hollywood actors that do some of the voices, like Paul Giamatti and Sylvester Stallone are in the movie, where they're not voiced by the same people in the game, yet Ratchet and Clank are voiced by the same actors in the movie that are in the game. So it's very weird to see, like, that's the cutscene, that's the cutscene, that's the cutscene, that's the cutscene, but then different things. And they kind of condensed it all down as well. So it's the same story told differently with some parts that are exactly the same.
So with that, one of the things we did talk about last week was the whole idea of like, why don't they just do a straight adaptation of something? By the sounds of it, that is a straight adaptation of something, but it's kind of weeding you out.
It's very different though, because like the characters in the game are different to the characters in the movie because they give you more scenes with them. So you're like, oh, I didn't realize that, or didn't realize, because like... Spoilers for Ratchet and Clank, but Captain Quark at the start is in prison in the game, and he's telling the story of Ratchet and Clank, and then you find out why he's in prison. In this one, it's kind of like a secret that he's in conjunction with them until the very end. And like the side characters that don't do anything in the game have like fleshed out Hollywood actors playing them in the okay. movie.
Interesting.
So it's a weird combination, that one. It's interesting though.
Okay, to follow on with James's comment, he does mention, because I would like to see a live action and proper Final Fantasy VII movie. Mm. Didn't they do Final Fantasy VII?
There was Advent Child.
Advent Children, that's the one. Never seen it personally. I hear it's very, very mixed emotions on that film.
And there was the Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, which was
hot garbage.
Yeah.
Visually impressive at the time, hot garbage film. Justin Buzton asked the question. Oh, he states, you do fight dinosaurs in the old Tomb Raider games. That is true.
T-Rex, yeah.
Do we see, do Raptors? Reckon we would see T-Rexes in this Tomb Raider run?
Possibly. I mean, it's much more grounded and gritty and real. And because they didn't go the supernatural route, I don't know if they'll go with dinosaurs. But, you know, the third movie comes around, you're getting desperate, throw a T-Rex in there, you got sales.
Jess asked the question, do you think Vikander was the right choice for Lara Croft?
So not whether
she did a good job, do you think she was the right choice? Yes or no with an explanation?
Yeah. She did a good job, had a good accent, looked the part. She had like a clef in her chest, so it seemed like she was tanned, but then they like darkened her tan in her cleavage, so it looks like she's got bigger bust. So it was really distracting. Whether or not that's just the way her chest folds.
Well, you just, why do you keep looking at boobs?
Well, that's the whole thing, you know. Like Tomb Raider is all about the boobs in the old days, but it seemed like there was a really distinctive kind of brown darkening of her makeup around her chest that was really emphasized. So I thought that was weird. But yeah, again, like she's kind of got that gruff attitude. Maybe that's just their way of setting up. Like she's a loner and she lives on the streets and she does her things herself. And now she's kind of accepting her family and her riches and things like that and has less stress. Maybe that'll make her a more upbeat kind of person.
Could be.
But it's a good starting point.
Let's see. James adds all dem polygons with them pointy boobies from the old
No pointy boobies anymore.
James also asks, where are the hell are the Winchesters? Who are you going to call for killing the supernatural? And Jess agrees, those Winchester boys do need to be there. Mm. Sam and Dean. But seeing as you mentioned they kind of went away from the supernatural route about half, you know, and that meant more of a disease, like that, it'd be weird if they were there. This is more of an X-Files thing,
no
really.
Supernatural. Yeah, it's like a disappointing X-Files episode. When you think it's going to be cool, like a big mystery, and then it's like, oh, it's just science.
Jess, because I missed the start, how did you find the Trinity organization?
Well, Matthias works for Trinity. In the game, he's like this big, mysterious, religious nut. In the movie, he's just a dude that kind of oversees. He's like the foreman of the place. Mm. And he's been there for 7 years, so he's a little bit crazy, but not really. And he's just like, fuck it, I'll just kill people because they're pissing me off. So there's not much to him, and he works for the corporation. The corporation is something that they're going to set up for bigger sequels. It's like, you know, she's found out that it's part of this big... big overseeing kind of secret society. The sequel will be her going over and, you know, tracking them down and finding out more about that. So it's only very subtly hinted at in this one.
How is Walter Goggins? Because he is a phenomenal actor.
He is. He's good. I mean, it feels like there's very much movie thing. So they have a showdown at the end, and it feels, you think it would be video gamey where, you know, you have the showdown
fight
with the villain and you have a fight scene. I remember in the game, you just kind of have like a, what do you call it?
Gun battle, yeah.
Not even a gun battle. It's like a quick time event. Yeah. So you pretty much just press triangle and then shoot him and then it's over. Whereas in this, they have like a street fight and, you know, he's got her in a headlock and he's kicking her and it's all this big action thing and she throws him off the side and then hangs onto things. So it's very like third act, here's the action fight. Second act, here's the twist. And it seems very plotted out as like the movie cliches. And that's the part that moves it. It's not the video game part that makes it bad. It's the movie part that makes it bad.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a really weird sort of like look at it. Mm. And the video game part of it is actually really good, but the fact they needed to fuck with it to make it a movie.
Yeah. And even the games are like cinematic. These days, like I said, like people are just like, oh, it's a game. It's a video game. You can't make a movie out of it. Literally, those are better movies than movies that they make of them, let alone some traditional movies like the Uncharted games, Last of Us, all that kind of stuff.
Does the soundtrack in the film add or detract from the film?
I think I read this correctly in that Junkie XL did the soundtrack.
Batman vs Superman.
Yeah, he left Justice League to do Tomb Raider, and then they replaced him with Danny Elfman on Justice League. Yeah, I do remember the soundtrack being really cool. I can't think for the life of me what the music was, but I remember kind of bopping along when the credits came up. kind of dubsteppy a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, it sounds like Junkie XL.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The chat teams have gone elsewhere. They're talking about how there's the Scooby-Doo Supernatural crossover coming out next week.
Mm.
They're off on a whole different side. James, it's rather Indiana Jones-esque. Did you feel it's a bit of Lady Indiana Jones?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Tomb Raider kind of was. So there's that element. There's not, I don't think there's anything specifically calling back to Indiana Jones.
Are there any references to any other sort of...
Well, they have the things where, you know, you step on a certain block and the spike comes up. There is one cool part where the kind of gruff thug guys are there and they press, she steps on something and they're like, oh, fuck, what's going to happen? And then, like, something kind of shakes or crumbles and the guy next to him's like, ah, ah. And the guy's like, haha, you fucking idiot. And then the guy goes through him. That was pretty cool. Violence-wise, you do see... people get shot with arrows. Shot. It's not overtly violent.
A lot of blood?
Nah, there is blood. Like when she's like bleeding through her gut, she pulls it out. That's pretty graphic. But it kind of tones it back.
Mary Voss. Ah, Jane. Sorry, I mean in the progression of its story. Okay, and yeah, so the story and how it proceeds.
Not really. Because Indiana Jones is completely different.
Mm, and good.
Yeah. And he's an archaeologist and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's a professional at these things. So he's kind of set in his ways, whereas she's kind of still learning it.
So having her not having the archaeological whatever experience,
yes,
and having seeing after one montage of her fighting boxing, does it feel like she's sort of fumbling her way through the island and surviving, or does it feel like she's Mary Janing it and just happened to be really good at all of it?
Well, she can already fight and hold her own. They show that she's already like parkour-y, so they show that they already show that she's like fit and cycly and can do things like that. So physically she's set for it and she's kind of tough and a loner, so she lives on her own, she's self-sufficient. She's kind of scrambling to do things as well. It doesn't really play it up a lot where, you know, she does things that she's bad at and then you see her improve on it. It's kind of just like she's finding a way. I think it's more, again, in those instances where I'm bringing the game to the movie, where the movie might not portray that exactly. But that's what they're going for, at least. But she's never really, like, incapable.
Paul's Rocky goes, just sticking my nose in. I'll see you in the stream tomorrow night, ladies and gents. That's right, Paul James will be here tomorrow. He's pretty keen. He's pretty excited. He'll also be joining us for the players.
And
episode,
No Way Out.
Episode airing on Monday. I have no idea what we're talking about yet, which reminds me, I should probably make a status about that.
Talk about people who have acceptance speeches at gaming awards.
That's a good idea. Jess also asks, so is it setting her up to follow that archaeological path?
Yeah, well, in the basement under the tombs that her father has, there's a whole lot of other things lying around. So there could be like supernatural things, you know, because he wanted to find a connection between life and after death, that there could be other adventures she goes on or things that Trinity are looking for and she's trying to prevent Trinity from getting, because essentially they're responsible for her father's death. So that could play into it.
Very nice. Anything else you want to add, Shax? I think we're sort of wrapping up. There's not a whole lot we can really go any deeper, is there?
No, I mean...
Pardon me.
It was good. If you're into Tomb Raider or you played the game and you enjoy it, you'll get that same kind of satisfaction. I wanted it to be like, you know, the Wonder Woman of video game movies, so that girls could have Wonder Woman as this incredible superhero movie and Tomb Raider as this incredible video game movie, and those kind of things come at the same time. And I think that's what they were going for, but it's kind of like that middle tier kind of budget. It's not huge blockbuster and it's not low budget. It's skid somewhere in between. So for that and the stunts and the things that they do, it does kind of, you know, succeed. But you can kind of watch the trailer and know what you're getting into and the quality of the movie, and there's no real massive surprises outside of normal plot devices like if dad's dead and she's sad and there's a flashback about it. Oh, now she's alive, and they do this thing where she kisses her fingers and they put it on their forehead. They've got like this traditional, you know, cliche thing going on.
Do you feel that I lost my train of thought?
Yes, I do feel like that.
Oh yeah, sorry. Have you seen how it's performing?
It's mixed reviews. Kind of like, yeah, 6, 7 out of 10s.
What about money wise? Is it doing okay?
I don't know.
So that's sort of the question is, do you think we will see a sequel to this?
Yeah, I think if it brings its own budget back and enough people see it, they could pull another sequel out of it. I think Alicia Vikander is strong enough in this character to have another go at least. Mm-hmm. And maybe if they up the budget and, you know, try something new or different and listen to the criticisms of people of the first one. So whether or not that's having T-Rexes or crazy supernatural shit.
Or pointy boobs.
Pointy boobs, yeah. It could be improved upon. I think there's potential there. And they set it up for a sequel. I mean, most movies set up for sequels anyway, even if they never happen.
Yep. It's a common thing now.
But that could be kind of cool, yeah. Especially with, you know, if the Shadow of the Tomb Raider goes well and that has another resurgence as much as the 2013 one had, mm-hmm. then maybe that'll kind of push people to be like, yeah, Tomb Raider's still viable.
Excellent. Chat, we're about to do the last wrap-up. So if you have any final questions, any final points of discussion, if you've seen the film, jump in and let us know what you think. As you wrap up, as Dylan gets ready for his final thoughts, we'll hear your final thoughts. So hearing you talk about it, it does make you want to rush out and to go and see it.
It does, doesn't it?
Not really. I think I might see it when it comes to Netflix or something and be like, oh yeah, I suppose I'll watch that. But I said that about like Fantastic Beasts and when I still haven't watched it yet.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I hear it's really good.
The second one's coming out soon.
Yeah, that's what made me go, oh, I should probably watch that. Well, I think, when did Thor come out? Like, I only just watched it.
Last year.
Yeah.
August.
James says, it's sitting at a domestic total, actually that's a US domestic, at $29.825 million. What was its budget?
I don't know. But 29 is not much.
That's
considering the budget would probably be around, I don't know, 100 million?
Yeah, that's not the worst, but it's an all right opening weekend.
75 million?
Or opening week, I should say. Yeah. But you would kind of expect more from like the names. With a budget of 94 mil.
There you go.
They're going to have a tough time getting that back.
Pretty close.
Jess says, dude, get on Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, no, I've been really slack, man. I'm really slack.
You know where to find it?
I have it on Blu-ray.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic Beasts and where to find it. It's on the Blu-ray.
The
shelf.
Way to find them is out there. Anyways, yeah, wrap up. Give us quick final thoughts and we'll get on out of here.
It was okay.
If you've liked what you've seen here, be sure to like and subscribe. All the social links are in the description, like our Facebook community group where we chat about movies and random shit all the time. It's a great place to be. There's also a Discord. Lots of chats happen there too. But if you want to support us financially, because you're that kind of lovely person, head to thepopcultures.com/shop. You can buy merch. You can buy these beautiful shirts. You can buy all the things. And of course, patreon.com/thepopculturist, where you can get exclusive access to some things like For the Players. Maybe not this show, because it's streamed live. And there should be some bonus footage there as well. Videos. Haven't done it this month, because nothing exciting happened to make it. But I'm looking at doing some more exclusive community streams there as well.
Ooh.
But anyways, until the next one, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Dylan Bowden. And until then, that is a wrap.